My name is Oliver Queen. After 5 years in hell, I returned home with only one goal, to save my city. But my old approach wasn't enough. I had to become someone else. I had to become something else. I had to become the Green Arrow.
Hello, and welcome to the Rogue Arrow Podcast, Season 4, Episode 5. Today we are discussing Haunted, written by Brian Ford Sullivan and Oscar Balderrama, and directed by John Badham. As always, I'm Daniel Janes.
I'm Rudy Schubach.
And I'm Laurel Mers.
And joining us is a special guest star, air quotes, Constantine expert, because he's watched more of it than the rest of us.
And I have all the books, so.
Yeah, also that. So.
That's even better than watching the episodes, I think.
Indeed. Yeah, Joel Mengele. You may remember him from comments on Facebook and stuff.
Well, thanks for having me.
Number one super fan, Joel
Mengele. Yeah.
I try. Sorry I kind of barged my way onto the show and just pretty much demanded it, but I was like, yeah, it's Rogue Arrow. I got to be on here at one point.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. Anyone who's anyone is being on Arrow.
Yeah, our one listener is on our show.
Tyler
Crabs is also on our show.
Yeah, he's also on our show.
So basically, if you listen to our show, you can be on our show, is what I'm getting from this conversation.
As long as you can claim some sort of expert
credential. And you know what? You know what? Put that on your resume. Why don't you?
Constantine expert? Okay.
Yeah, put it on your LinkedIn today.
I live in a small southern Indiana town. I really don't think that Constantine expert is really going to help my job searching, but, you know.
Yeah, I do my best to hide the fact that I have a podcast.
I feel like the only thing that would help your job searching would be to move.
Good point, good point.
Yeah.
Oh, don't come in here. I'm busy.
Sorry, all right, kids too. Off to a strong start. So, Laurel and Rudy have a synopsis, and I'm a little bit worried because they worked on it together and are sitting in the room together, so it's bound to be a good one.
Meanwhile, am I just jumping in?
Jump right in.
Somebody's making all sorts of noise, like moving pots omelets and pans around. Someone's making dinner for me, it sounds like.
It's omelets.
Yeah.
We're having breakfast for dinner. Okay. Meanwhile, back on the island. Storyline one. Surprise, John Constantine's here. But first they're like, oh, we found your computer. And then there's like, look, we found your computer. And he's all like, oh, crap.
What do you think I did? Fell from the sky?
That was a good line. Like, I parachuted out of a thing on a secret spy mission. When they, like, do that joke where it's like, that's totally what he did. I get it. That's awesome. It's so ridiculous that his life is that ridiculous. Oh my god, it's John Constantine! He's here, and he needs a cigarette. And also, he knows magic, so he can get out of handcuffs or something. He wiles his way out of some cuffs and into a secret underground magical cavern where they find a natural magical tattoo remover and a ring pop.
Biggest ring pop I ever saw.
Constantine is saved, and... because by some, like, he can wile his way into magical underground things, and but he doesn't know that there's a great big spike trap over the top of this magical device and doesn't know to get the fuck out of the way. Oh no, magical trap! And then Oliver saves his life. Now he owes Oliver some payback, and he starts that payback by giving him a tattoo. Weird. And then he also punches him in the face, but only because Oliver was into it.
So it was consensual. Also, yeah. He gives him the ring pop.
He also gives him the ring pop.
Excellent sharing on his part. Good sharing.
It was the bling. He needed the bling to take back to his boss.
Yeah, the bling and the punch in the face. So back in Star City, rehydrated Cup O Sarah, also known as Grumpy Cup, is straight up murdering the bitches who look like Thea. My question... where did she get that fly corset? Rudy then reminded me that she was buried in it. So gross.
Well, she was resurrected in it. She was buried in, like, normal trappings.
So what? Who changes a corpse's clothes?
They had to. It's part of the ritual, I think.
They had to ritualistically chain to the corpse's clothes.
It was the same corset that Theo was in when Theo was thrown into the Red Lazarus pit. Ugh. I remember because I was like, damn, that's a fly corset.
Oh my god. You're saying they recycled her return to the rehydration outfit?
No, I'm guessing they have like a closet full of
them. All right.
And a park bought Gap.
It was 40% off, you guys. It was already on the clearance rack. Who makes it like 70%? It was like 40% off and then an additional 30% off. And I got it at the outlet. So.
We have dozens of these.
Let's just. Hold on one second.
Yes?
Do you really honestly think Malcolm Merlyn is going to set foot in a Gap? Hell no. It's a Nordstrom's or bust.
That's true.
It's very, very good.
Worst case, he's at the rack.
That's true. Fair point.
Do you like it?
I like it.
I love it. I got it at Ross. Anyway, so she also seems to have come back a bit of a klepto, stealing a coat after shanking a rapey-ass bitch hoe. Basically, Ollie finds out Sarah's body is back, but ain't no one at home. Theo gets attacked 2 times on accident by Sarah, because bloodlust, y'all. Then the 3rd time's a charm. As Thea's bait pays off to put Grumpy Cup down with a tranquilizing arrow.
I thought the one where she was attacked in the hospital was just going to be a pillow because that scene is so done to death. I figured they would just go for that.
Right.
Please continue.
Anyway, Ollie calls up his old pal Constantine and provides a perfect soul-catching seance. And y'all, bitch is back. By which I mean. Grumpy Cup Cap Face Sarah. Diggs and Lancey side story. You want to do that one?
Diggs and Lancey side story. There's a rat in the house. Lance. Lance is the rat. I get it.
Oh, also RAT. Rat is the device that they use.
Oh, they also use the RAT. Yes, I remember that.
Oh my gosh, it works on so many levels.
Oh my god. Deleting some shit, including. What?
Nothing. I was making a smart aleck comment. Please continue.
Okay. No, we love smart aleck comments.
All the comments should be smart aleck.
It's deleting some shit off of his computer, and one of those shits that it's deleting is actually Diggle's brother's name. And it turns out he got killed because he was getting in the way of drug running that Hive was doing in Afghanistan. Drug running.
Afghanistan. It's a pretty fucked up place.
Pretty
guys.
Fucked up. don't go to there.
That's what he said. That's what Malcolm's friends in the Hive... leader guy, what's his name? With the blue eyes.
Damien Dark.
That's his name. No big deal. I remember that. I'm geeky.
What was his name in Captain America?
Dum-Dum Dugan.
Dum-Dum Dugan.
He was also...
Dum-Dum Dugan, Damien Dark.
Okay.
He was also the husband of one of the housewives in Desperate Housewives.
He was also an amazing character in an amazing television show called Band of Brothers, where he played Dum-Dum Dugan.
Wow.
He wasn't actually Dum-Dum Dugan, but it is basically the same thing. Because they love to cast him in. He's got a World War II look, I guess. Dum-Dum Dugan tells him not to go to Afghanistan, Australia. Sorry, Chris. Drug running, apparently Diggs seems pretty happy, at least for now, because he knows that his brother was doing something heroic when he got...
No, it's the opposite.
No.
Rudy, no. Read the line.
Diggs seems happy to at least know.
Okay, no, listen. He got in the way of the drug-running Hive guys because he was drug-running.
Oh, he was the competition.
Yeah, he got put down.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought I remember hearing in the show, and I was like, he was getting in the way? No. I think he was... Oh, let me read the line that she wrote down. It makes way more sense when I read the whole thing instead of summarizing. Getting killed for getting in the way of drug running by Hive guys.
Drug running Hive guys.
By drug running.
Yeah, .. by drug running. Exactly. Okay, I'll finish this shit. You can't read my handwriting because I'm dyslexic. Oh!
I'm also that.
And mayor shit. So basically this political advisor says, get back up from your friends. And Ollie's all, good plan. And then he is all,
okay.
Bad plan. And Ollie's all, you right, queen. And then
girl?
That's that. And Adam lives.
Don't forget.
When will Thea's bloodlust return? Now that Grumpy Cup Sarah is back, can we get some hot lesbo action back in this bitch?
What happens on the island with that tattoo? Do we give a shit?
Is John Constantine also going to die and be brought back to life and recycled? Like, oh, shit. So we can also be, oh, wait, and, no, my own writing. Is John Constantine going to die and be brought back to life? So we can also be recycled into a new show that will probably be a terrible spinoff and kind of shitty. Can I have a pizza now, please? All this and more on this episode of... I beat you.
Curtis, I need you to do something for me.
Felicity, look at me. Gym clothes, gym bag, do either of those suggest anything to you?
Physical fitness, but then I remembered you're a tech guy.
I'm also a bronze medal decathlete.
Bronze medal, huh?
Beijing 2008.
Beijing. Is it in the Olympics?
Mr. Palmer's recording, did you play it?
Yes, there's something off about it.
You sure it's not the fact that it's a dying declaration from your ex? I mean, that is some serious Nicholas Sparks level stuff. Don't judge. Man can write emotion.
No, not that. I mean, yes, there's that, but there's still some artifacts playing that shouldn't be there. What about your workout?
Didn't seem to concern you 20 seconds ago.
I'm sorry, Felicity. This is my fault. I got...
You hear that?
Like, there's more to the recording. Something overlapping with it.
I was hoping you could clean it up for me. I mean, after your workout.
It can wait. I'm glad you changed your mind about hearing Mr. Palmer's final words.
Thank you, Curtis.
As far as synopses go, that, I think, is the first synopsis to ever give me an erection so hard I may have lost consciousness.
Whoa!
If it lasts for 4 or more hours,
you should seek
medical attention,
yes.
All right. And that goes, we have our thing.
We should put that on our...
That's our podcast slogan. Rogue Arrow Podcast. If you have an erection more than 4 or 5 hours,
you need to seek medical help.
Preferably from Laurel, because she's a nurse.
Because that gave me an erection.
What was that, Dan?
Seek medical attention, preferably from Laurel, because she's a nurse.
Oh, no. I don't want to see that shit.
She doesn't do boner doctors.
I don't do boners. I do one boner, and that's about it. That's all I got the energy for. It's a great boner. I like the boner I do.
We can move forward. What's so Arrow? I need an adult.
Yeah, this episode happened. It was
so that happened.
A mess, to put it nicely.
This episode was a prime example of failure on every single level. I've normally been arguing with you guys while listening to this to you guys for the season about how it kind of sucks. Mm-mm, no, this is the epitome of the writers going, you know what? We just don't care. Fuck y'all.
Yes. This whole season has been a growing pimple, and this episode was when, you know, you give it a little tap and all the pus comes out.
Gross, dude. What a terrible metaphor.
Too true far. Fact.
What an incredibly accurate metaphor.
Yes.
I'm nothing if not clinically accurate.
Here is my main problem. Let me try and boil it down. John Constantine was brought in to the background of the island in order to give us a basis for how Oliver knows him. And that whole thing got wrapped up in one episode. So that we can have a 10-minute sequence where he shows up, sprinkles some magic dust, and fixes Sarah. In like a totally zero stakes sequence. So we spend this entire episode introducing a guest character so that we can have a 10-minute payoff of dream sequence, angel style, demon fighting, stab him in the sword, air heart, garbage, blah. It makes me so mad I can't construct sentences
right.
properly.
And he can like stop him with his words, but he's using a fucking sword. Well, like, what's that about? Why do you even
need
a sword?
Well, we don't need
that's
to explain
cheating.
Magic.
That's cheating. Well, if you could use magic, then what do you need a fucking sword for?
Because you can't stab someone with magic.
And here's the thing about the character Constantine that they did on the TV show. They stayed very true to the character being basically what he is a con man. He's a magical con man. He never really picked up a weapon. He doesn't fight. Like, he'll get into a fist fight when he's drinking or to get out of being sacrificed to some sort of ancient Cthulhu god. But the part he picks up a sword and fights, like you said, Angel. That was perfect. I knew I wanted to say something about that. It was like watching a piss-poor episode of a Joss Whedon show and John Constantine fighting in a sword. The three-year-old came up to me and saw me go, Daddy, you okay? And I go, yeah. He goes, you mad? I felt my face was burning with rage. Why the is John Constantine picking up a sword? Why? What nonsense is this?
Why?
See, I didn't even know the things about John Constantine. I just thought that it was a very poor episode. And, like, this idea that we're going inside of some sort of, like, did we go inside Sarah's head? Is that where we were? Were we in some sort of extra-dimensional portal? Were we in hell? Were we back in Nanda Parbat?
Or were we in the Catholics, right? Is there such a thing as purgatory? Poor Sarah was in purgatory because she killed so many people, but she has a good heart, so she has to wait it out until Jesus lets her in.
I think it was supposed to be purgatory, but again, it just absolutely no explanation. No.
Underexplained, so you can have an experience.
And Sura couldn't even get her ass out the pit. It took two people to get that tiny little wet girl out that pit.
And when she was resurrected, she just jumped out that motherfucker.
She was like, I'm good.
She jumped
y'all.
Like 15 feet in the air out of that
so
motherfucker.
So good, y'all. Take a bitch down.
And then she stabbed her through. My favorite scene in the episode, though, was in the first 15 seconds where she jumps down and then there's that guy and he threatens her with a knife and then she grabs him and by the wrist and then stabs him in his own chest for like 5 or 6 times. And every time I saw it, I watched it through twice because I watched the first episode and then started cooking dinner. And then I had to start it again because I totally got lost. Anyway, both times I saw it, I was like, why are you stabbing yourself? Why are you stabbing yourself?
You stole my joke.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That's good, though. Brave minds, joking alike.
That's true. I think I'm going to stick up for the magical elements of this because if you're like Sarah not being able to get out of the hot tub in
that
the dream
sense.
World, like I can get behind that because you know it's her own self, it's her inner turmoil of dealing or coming to terms with not having her soul or something. I don't know.
Well, I would
basically
believe that if it was established
to
that we
stand
were
up for
it,
but I can't. Because I got nothing. Who's
I think that
listening
I would...
to music somewhere or people talking? Because that's coming through. And it's.
I don't know.
It's not us. We can hear it. Must be Joe.
Oh, hold on.
Joe!
Hold on 1 second.
Oh,
let me turn it down. Hold on.
God, who invited you? Jeez.
Guys, down.
Okay, but. Wait a minute. When you first started that last sentence, Dan, you said you were going to... Oh, I remember now. I get what you're saying about standing up for the magical strip. Because as we previously decided, this season, since the other seasons were about... First about really strong people and no magic, and then there's like people who have evolved and they have powers, and now this season is all about people who have magic. So I get what you're saying. Like, at least it goes with the theme of the season, which is magic.
See, my problem with your backing up of the idea that she couldn't get out of things was that it was her inability to, like, her struggling with the kind of. I mean, but the problem was is that seems like a very personal struggle. And yeah. My problem is it wasn't ever established that we were inside of anything that was actually connected to her.
Yeah. So, like, some scenes ahead of time where we see Sarah's soul struggling in the pit would have been
yeah,
nice.
There you go.
Like, she'd be like, oh, she is. Sarah's soul lives.
Like, there were numerous times when they could have done things like that. Like, at the beginning when she stabs the guys and then she sees the other guy. And then all of a sudden we've got her face-to-face with someone who looks like Thea but isn't Thea. And so she starts speaking in a language, but we don't have subtitles, so we don't know what the fuck she's saying. We have no idea what's going on with this character. And then...
Cut to.
And then she cuts away. But, like, then they could have done things like showing her... Or showing us what was going on from her perspective and having her inner monologue being sort of like trapped behind this thing or stuck inside of this. But she can't
trying to crawl out of the pit.
Exactly. Like there are ways that they can communicate that struggle to us before we get, you know, 75% of the way through the episode and inside of a dream sequence.
And then end up with a dazed as Machina situation.
Machina.
And the entire time they could have done that scene was, I don't know, that entire pointless argument that her and Oliver had in the hospital about how it's like, I can't believe you went to Nanda Parbat.
I can't believe you didn't tell me about your sister.
We really seem angry with each other.
5 minutes later, this will amount to nothing.
There was
hypocrisy, bitch.
There was one line in there that made it worth it, though.
Which one?
Which one?
I love your family. I've always loved your family. I just wish that you would give a damn about mine.
Oh, give
oh,
me a damn.
Oh, dropping the mic.
No.
Dropping the mic.
Get that mic back up. That's bullshit. That's some Lifetime movie.
It was,
shit
but
right
it,
there.
It was the best line in the scene.
Oh, that is sad. That's a sad state of affairs. If that is the best line of the season.
Not of the season, in the scene. Definitely, maybe
scene?
Even the episode.
Oh no, the best line of the scene was when he said something about now I can't remember. I wrote it down at some point, but then I lost to the little.
I lied. The best line of the episode was you can't even say the word energy drink when you're on the clock.
That was good too. His whole thing where he was speaking really fast was really cute.
Oh, I love.
Basically, the only thing about this season that is working for me is the chemistry
Curtis.
Between those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like the bad guy. I like Damian Dark. I think every time he's on screen,
he's
I like his attitude. I like his attitude. I like his whole, hey, I'm a badass. I'm going to cut you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be stylish about it.
And actually, there's something, I always have a thing for bad guys who also have like a touch of heart. Sort of, I call it the Richard III sex allure, right?
I think you made jokes. Sure.
Because, I mean, if you read Richard III, which is one of the best of Shakespeare's plays, you do root for this horrible guy who's like a child killer. So I've always found that interesting. When you can make a bad guy also kind of
charming
lovable
as hell, yeah.
In the same way that, like, I'm very drawn to Merlin. You know, like, I kind of root for that asshole. Like, because there is some heart in him. Like, here's Damien Dark's heart is around kids, and that, like, he clearly has children. He was, like, upset when that ass wop stole away the potential mayoral candidate, 7 of 9's daughter. He's, like, kind of protective. Even, like, his conversation about Sarah when he was, like, the most loving thing that you can do for her is put her down. Like, that was sort of a nice...
Or magic.
Or get some magic. Fucking magic. You know what you need to do, shooter, or just get some magic.
Get you know some what you magic. Do. You need to shoot her in the head, or get her soul back. One or the other. I don't
Either
remember.
Either one will work. Where's that ring pop?
I wish. Oh. And again, they dealt with it in a way that was so whirlwind that we introduced Sarah being back 2 episodes ago. We introduced Sarah being not quite back last episode, and now it's fixed.
Because magic, that's why. And also, okay.
We could be 3/4 of the way through the season and have a really interesting arc and really cool character development. We could have had Sarah on a killing spree for a fucking month.
Yes. Okay, but also, if Constantine was there and he is the, like, guy who reigns in all dark magic, why the fuck isn't he sticking around to take out Damian Dark? He's all, good luck with that, guys. I'm outie.
Not only was he like, good luck with that, he was like, yeah.
You should just leave.
I'm leaving. You should do the same.
Peace. That actually is a lot, is very much what Constantine would do. He's like, oh, I owe you a debt? Okay, yeah, I'm just going to take care of this really quick. Don't care if anyone gets hurt. Okay, oh, paid off. We're good. He calls someone a ponce, a tosser, blows some cigarette smoke in their face, say something, and then walk right out. Be like, oh, you're dealing with that?
Okay, that would work, Joel, except that they shook on, I got your back, you got mine. So you can't say, I got your back, you got mine, but Damian Dark, no thanks.
Yeah, just, the inconsistencies of this was, I'm getting angry again.
Yes, yes, Daddy, you angry?
Daddy, you angry?
Ow. I mean, it's definitely just been rushed. The pacing, again, is the big issue of the season. Big proponent of that would be Constantine himself. Like, we meet him one scene, the next scene he's kidnapping Oliver, the next scene Oliver saves his life, and then the next scene they're best friends, and then the next scene is now in the present time when Oliver calls in the favor.
I like how they even like they got from like I have a gun in your face to I no longer have a gun in your face by like Gonson being like I'm a good guy and Ollie being like oh hey me too and then they were like best friends forever.
He's like hold on I'm gonna Wikipedia that Oliver Queen Green Arrow. They're just like oh you are a good guy got it. All right I'm on the right page.
No they didn't even have to do that. All you had to do was be like yeah I'm not. Feel bad myself, and Constantine was like
instant trust.
Yes.
And here's the thing.
You know what? This whole season is like instant noodles. The whole thing is just rehydrated cup of noodles. Like, Joe, it's okay, you guys. I see there's conflict. Let's just add water.
Not just Sarah. The whole entire season.
That's what I'm saying. That's the theme. It's not magic. It's just water.
It feels like they are rushing through this to get to something really big, and that's going to be the crux of the season.
Fuck, I hope so.
The problem is that the really big thing.
One episode, because that'll piss me the fuck off.
Like they're setting up for Legends of Tomorrow. I mean, they spent what 2-3 episodes getting Sarah back, and now they're gonna go start hunting for the Atom.
By the way, that political strategist was a good call.
But his advice was a little harsh. I mean, distancing yourself from Laurel.
I wasn't expecting that, but he made a few good points.
What, like kicking your friends to the curb?
Well, my friendship with Laurel is complicated.
We have been in each other's lives for, like, forever. I mean, you have been in love with Laurel and Sarah, and Laurel, she took me in at CNRI when I was completely lost. Even Captain Lance, okay, he has been there for us since Mom died.
Okay. But your point?
My point is that pretending that you don't know who your friends are, it just doesn't feel very united.
This is your overlord, Listy Smoke.
We have a PA system.
Yet another decision I might live to regret.
Wait, I have questions. I have serious concerns and questions about Legends of Tomorrow. Here they go.
Let's go. Bring it.
The Atom is a character in that show.
Yes.
Correct.
Sarah is a character in that show and no longer a member of Team Arrow.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Is Red Arrow going to be in that supergroup as well, or will he...
Oh, you mean old school Red Arrow?
Yeah.
Is Roy he Harper. Be constituted too?
I don't think so. He's not dead.
I thought they shanked his ass.
No. They shanked his ass because they knew that they could make it look like he was dead without killing him, and then he went and became a mechanic and fought one more time and got Oliver out of jail and then ran for it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So he's on the lam.
Yeah.
They had to bring him in. Fourth question. Is John Constantine going to be a part of that super group?
Doesn't he have a show?
He had a show and they managed to work it out with DC that they could bring him back. As far as it was right now, the standing deal is it's a one-time shot. It's just one time. And it was kind of like to something for the fans.
Are they continuing his show?
Oh, no. It got canceled by NBC, and they really tried to get the CW to pick it up, but unfortunately, no one wanted to pick
it up. There's no market for it?
No one wanted to pick it up because they had just had such crappy ratings, and unfortunately the real crappy ratings were because they put it in the Friday night death slot.
Yep.
You put it on a channel like, I don't know, Sci-Fi, or because they were talking about getting Sci-Fi, Spike, CW, El Rey. It would have done
would do it.
Oh, they actually bought the distribution rights for the first season of the only season of Constantine, so they'll be replaying the episodes.
So my follow-up question is, if he's not like actively cross-promoting a show that is actively struggling anymore, and he's not going to be a part of a show that they are actively promoting, why the fuck bring him back?
Because, you guys, it's like his parting guest.
I understand that it's fan service. It's
100% fan service, which is why this story feels so painful.
It was used in such a shitty way that I bet all of the fans who are Constantine fans are pissed off about it.
But maybe they'll watch Arrow now.
No.
After people wanted,
no, they won't. Because people wanted an episode of Constantine on Arrow. They wanted fucking John Constantine.
That would have been a very interesting episode. If it started out with, like, John Constantine is in a cafe somewhere trying to pull some long con, and he gets a telephone call from his old buddy, Oliver Queen, and then we actually follow him all the way through this through line. That would have been a really fucking cool way to flip the script.
Or even like some crazy mystical big bad villain of the week comes in. Like, that would have been better than, Sarah is back to life, and I guess she doesn't have a soul, so we'll call some dude who could probably help us get her soul back.
Yeah, maybe John Constantine's stuck in Starling City because he chased some big scary demon there, and this would be a great way to introduce Team Arrow to the otherworldly forces and give us a good reason to have John in the city.
And maybe, like, Arrow watchers aren't so, like, mentally incompetent that we can just buy that they met somewhere along the line. I mean, we've had
other... Or explain it later. Why explain it in the same episode?
Right. Because we've had plenty of other characters come in. We never knew how they knew each other. Like that Russian guy, we just knew that he, like, at some point learned Russian. We still don't know why. And that we're, like, cool with that, guys. You don't need to shove it down our throats.
Nope, but the writers decided, hey, we just watched that episode of Love Boat where Zsa Zsa Gabor made another friggin' cameo, so she's just going to show up for 15 minutes in a 45-minute show. Hey, thanks for joining us there, Zsa Zsa / John. It was terrible.
Zsa John?
Yeah, and here's the thing, right? Here's the thing.
Tell me the thing.
At what point did maybe I missed it, but you would think it's like, hey, you're on an island, and you were obviously undercover and working for some drug lords, and I haven't seen you for like 5 to 6 years, and you're doing pretty good right now. Yeah, that would be the first question. And the second one, you would have been like, so you're a superhero now? No, John Constantine's just like, oh, you got a nice place, Danny. Good day.
Good day. I think he's British.
Oh, right, sorry.
I know that we've got Chris isn't even here to be like, he's British, you asshole. Oh, man.
Crikey. He's British, you asshole.
That dingo was spot on.
The dingo told me magic. I'm dying.
Oh, man.
I could just see it. I could see that. I would pay money to see an Australian Constantine. Right, this week I got to fight a stingray.
Oh, no,
stingray.
It's a magical stingray, you cunt.
I'm gonna fight him with my ring pop.
Still too soon. I still haven't forgiven stingrays.
Stingrays suck ass.
Oh, bad.
You know what? Maybe, just maybe, the writers of Arrow are doing this to rile us up so that our ratings go up so that we become famous. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
No, they're doing it because they're on drugs and they think that that's a totally acceptable thing to do. At no point is this episode even remotely worthy of being an actual episode. This should have been just a supplementary episode.
Oh, you know what they could have done?
In between the DVD episodes.
You know what they could have done? This episode could have been their comic book book for the week, and then been like, look, it's John Constantine, and we know who John Constantine is. If you've been reading the comic books, maybe you should go buy a comic book. Read a book.
Beautiful. See, beautiful. We're not even getting paid for this shit, but we're coming up with stuff.
I know, I'm dropping bombs in here every week.
I know, every week we're like, we should write this shit. They should call us up.
There are five ways. Just send me a proof. I'll read it, and I'll be like, this was great, guys. Really, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Or surely some of those writers have, like, a teenage kid. Like, give the script to them so they can read it and be like, no, this is really dumb.
I don't know, Dad. I don't think this follows. It's, why is John here at all? He needs to be there. We're cross-promoted. What are you cross-promoting, Dad? Come on. You're breaking my balls.
There's literally no show to cross-promote. The reason that this episode exists is because everyone's like, bring back Constantine, and NBC was like, nope. And Sci-Fi was like, hey, maybe we'll do it. Nope. And CW was like, nope, but maybe we could get him onto Arrow. And then they were all like, yeah, let's do that. You can have him for Arrow for one episode. And then they're like, awesome, we got Constantine. Shit, now what?
New plan. Are you ready for the new plan? John Constantine. What's his name? Who is played by Lancey Pants? Dresden. Team up in Star City. And we have like that weird moment where Lance and Dresden see each other and they kind of shake it off and keep walking. I think that would be funny as hell.
Why? Why do they know each other?
Dresden was played by the same guy who plays Lancey Pants in the show, the Dresden Files.
Oh, I wouldn't know that.
That sounds awesome.
Right?
Yeah, I would watch
it. And I think that sounds awesome, but it would be a terrible idea. Don't make that into television.
Nope, too late. You just made a writers write the whole fifth damn season of this series. That's what it's going to be. Just stupid cameos in the background.
Ugh.
Supergirl in the same universe as Green Arrow? Because they're coming out with that soon, right?
It's out. I tried to watch the first episode.
Oh, I thought it was great. We're going to watch it again with the girls.
I tried, but they don't have it on Hulu, and I don't watch anything live. Also, I don't really get networks anymore because they did something to the campus TV provider. So I don't even know if I could watch it live if I wanted to, and so I had to watch it on CBS.com, but I'm not going to watch it on my 20-inch monitor. I'm going to watch it on my 55-inch TV because...
And so that's Apple TV.
But I don't want to get an Apple TV because I have computers and I have a PS3 which plays everything else.
Like you know
Hulu.
What? Damn.
And so basically the stream I was getting was all choppy and it was like seizuring while watching Supergirl. And so basically it's just like, I'm just not going to watch it.
You don't have a TiVo?
No, I live on a college campus. You can't.
Oh, so
do
they
that.
Don't allow TiVos on college campuses?
I mean, I'm sure they do, but again, I don't have networks anymore.
Right, but if you have a TiVo and an antenna, you'll get the networks. That's what we do.
Yeah, so, but then I have to pay for TV. I already pay for Hulu and Netflix.
Yes, we pay for Hulu and Netflix. We have a Roku, we have a TiVo, we have an Apple TV, and we have an antenna, and we get all the things we ever wanted.
Yeah, that sounds exhausting.
I have the Netflix and the Hulu. I want to buy the Hulu no commercials package.
So good, we love it.
It is pretty great, but it's not like 100% no commercials. There's some shows like Flash and Arrow where they still play a commercial at the end of the show.
Which is when I'm glad that I have
the
an
beginning,
antenna
and, the end,
and my TiVo, so all I have to do is channel up between commercials, and it jumps right to the
next
scene.
I'm okay with just in the middle, or just in the beginning, because that gives me a chance to get up and grab a beer, whatever. As long as it's not in the middle of the episode, of the commercials, where the commercials go in the middle of the day. I hate that, especially when I'm watching Doctor Who on Hulu, and they're like, British television isn't even made for commercials, so we have to find a weird spot. The music is going to cut off really abruptly, and that makes it grinds my gears. Okay. Arrow?
Arrow.
I think we might have run out of things to say about this episode.
The Felicity Curtis stuff always makes me happy.
I like that Curtis guy. He is the one character that this show, the season, has really gotten well, and they're doing something... they're doing something that the CW TV shows don't normally do, which is they introduce
put a black guy on it.
Besides that, wow, we're just going straight for it there. Okay,
then. Just conversation about that.
They introduce a character who happens to be gay, and they make mention that he's gay once, and then it's not important. Unlike every other CW show, which is like, you see the gay guy, and he's just like, oh, va-va, boom, there's a man. I've got a party in my pants now. Does everyone know what my character is? I'm gay!
I'm the gay one.
But guys, that's totally okay. We have to remind you that that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and except in this show, it's just like, oh, he made mention of a husband? Cool. Oh, you mean the character is existing on his own traits and... you know, how well he's being written and not the fact that he happens to be sexually attracted to other men?
Do you know what I'll say?
Unless...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
They only made him gay, so we wouldn't worry about him being a potential cog in the wrench for Felicity and Oliver.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's why they did it, but they're still doing it okay.
I would almost have loved it more if they had introduced him as, you know, it doesn't even matter what his sexuality is, so long as I'm glad that they made it so they had an attractive, strong personality who was not immediately thrust into a love triangle.
Yes.
Because this is the CW, and love triangle, maybe that's why Constantine didn't get picked up by CW, because there's no possibility of a love triangle.
Except for John.
Why? He doesn't like people?
Oh no, John doesn't. Constantine doesn't do relationships. For him, it's just sex.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds very CW to me.
Every girlfriend and every boyfriend he's had, he's just like, oh, hey, okay, we got laid, cool, we're having fun, awesome, I'm out now.
Peace. Dropping the mic.
That sounds like CW wet dream to me.
besides John,
I would watch that show.
CW wet dream.
The wet dream.
Two relationships. Mm. Or been a part of a relationship with, like, so because we got Sarah. Sarah was with Nyssa and Oliver. Oliver was with
Sarah, Laurel.
And Laurel and Felicity.
And
that, Huntress.
Yeah.
And the Huntress and that girl that he got pregnant with.
Isabel Rochev.
And married to
anyone else with boobs on the show.
And Roy. And John, a little bit. Okay, maybe John was in a relationship. So. Anyway. Yeah, I think it's nice to have a character who's there because he's interesting and cool and smart, and also not at all in any sort of romantic rigmarole.
Yeah, he feels like season one Felicity for pretty much all of those reasons you just said. It's cool. Just very refreshing. To have someone who's just there and fun to watch. And not there to cause turmoil. But yeah, I kind of worry that he might go away a little bit once we get Roy back. But then, or Ray Palmer back. But then he's going to go off and
time travel.
Ray Palmer's going to
get his own damn show.
Yeah.
Ray's going to be like, oh, Felicity, you moved on. Okay, I'm out.
Unless Clinton's going to be like, I'm totally going to be a member of the Legend of the Future of Tomorrow, or whatever that show's called.
Yeah, that was close enough.
I like how Daniel's having a hard time this episode. He's just like, and we're all like 10,000 miles a minute just being like, fuck this show.
It just reminds me of this picture I saw on Facebook the other day. It's like it shows a barren field, and the caption is something along the lines of, "See this? This is where I grow my fucks. See how barren it is? Because I don't have
any
fucks.
I grow no many fucks.
I grow zero fucks currently. My fuck crop has run dry.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you my new favorite way to flip people off later.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, it is 7:30 here, and we got to eat.
And have cake. And have more drinks.
Well, you have that cake and eat it, too.
I will.
It's actually brownies.
That is the plan.
You have that steak and eat it, too. That's even better.
Yeah, steak.
Cool. Yeah. Before we go, any good quotes or anything else to discuss?
There was another good one.
Curtis is a bronze medal gymnast in China.
Yeah.
No, decathlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bronze medal how? Beijing. Beijing, like, oh, the Olympics. Yes.
Yeah. We said the, I didn't wash up on shore. I parachuted in on the secret spy mission.
That was a great one.
Because it's not the true thing that happened. It's the fake thing. Yeah. I don't know. Cliche, but funny nonetheless.
I like that line a lot, yeah.
There was something Thea said while they were sparring. At the end of their sparring, I thought was funny, but I can't remember what it is now.
It was because Felicity comes on over the thing. Is like, this is your overlord, Felicity. And Thea's like, wait, we have a PA system?
Oliver's replies, like, yeah, one of the decisions I may live to regret.
Exactly.
Oh, that was a good line.
And that was pretty much the end of the good lines for this episode.
Constantine had one when he was about to leave, something along the lines of, if I knew you were always surrounded by this many pretty girls, I would have stopped by sooner.
Yes, that's true. And that was right when he first showed up, actually.
Okay. I knew it was one of them. But
yeah, he shot his I have a good line load way too early. Then he started picking up fighting in the Matrix, and that was fucking horseshit.
Total horseshit.
Oh my god.
I half expected him to stab that guy and just be like, whoa, mate.
Again, he's British.
I don't know. I like the Australian Neo version.
No, they're cockney, say mate.
I wasn't trying to be Australian, but I can be. I mean, if you want me to, for the rest of the episode, do you want me to be Chris?
Yeah, do it. Okay.
Good day, I'm so hungover. Oh, God. I'm descended from criminals. Crikey.
Whoa, that got really good.
It's uncanny.
On a Barbie.
Chris, I thought you hadn't watched the show yet. I didn't know you even showed up.
Fuck off, you punts. Fuck off, I've got a headache.
We're back to British again.
I lost it. All right, sorry.
All right,
you're right.
So what, you're going to perform some kind of exorcism on my sister?
No, an exorcism is the removal of demonic possession. What your sister needs is a restitutionem, the restoration of her soul to her body.
And you've done this before?
Not once. Maybe a year ago. But don't worry, it's just like riding a bike.
I'm sure we have a lot of work to do to prepare. I assume you brought a list?
Apologies, I didn't have time to translate that from its original Aramaic. You know, if I knew you were surrounded by so many pretty girls, Oliver, I would have stopped by sooner.
When Oliver find this guy, the Luxor?
Oh, I'm just glad that the latest person from Oliver's past is not another gorgeous woman.
So, yeah, we'll be back next week, assuming...
Hopefully next week we'll say some nice things.
Yeah, God, I hope so. It'd be so nice to talk some good stuff about this show. Yeah, but... Until then, leave us feedback at roguearrow.blogspot.com. Like us on Facebook. Shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. All them other shit. Check out our other shows, almproductions.net. And yeah, until then, I am Daniel Janes.
I'm Rudy Schubach.
And I'm Laurel Mers.
I'm Joel Mingle. You can find me at the Pod People Podcast on iTunes.
Yeah, do that. It's good times.
Episode 3.
Don't forget to Papa Merlin.
Just so your listeners know, episode 3 has a certain Australian on it as a guest host.
How did you get him? We haven't been able to get him for weeks.
I got him last year.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, John. I owe you one. I believe I owed you one, mate. How's about we just call it even, eh?
How about anytime, anywhere you need me, I'll be there.
I'll take that. You know, the hair on the back of my neck has been standing up since the moment I got into town.
That is probably our current problem, Damien Dark. Oh, you've heard of it.
You watch yourself around that one, mate. You'll make what you saw in the other realm look like a bloody gnat.
Any helpful advice?
Yeah. Leave town. While you still can.
Rogue Arrow Podcast is an Autological Media Productions podcast. Leave us feedback at roguearrow.blogspot.com or shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com. Please like us on Facebook and rate and review us on iTunes. And if you'd want to check out our other shows, go to almproductions.net. As always, thank you for listening.
That's not true. We didn't actually write that.
I was going to say, what are we talking about? What did I miss? What series to be named?
It's called...
I don't know.
Recycled zombie shit.
It's called Cupo Heroes.
Cupo Heroes. Heroes.
Legends of
Tomorrow. I gotta remember to bring that Cup of Sarah. Cup of Sarah.
Cup of Sarah. I will cup your Sarah.
Hydrated. Cup. Oh, Sarah. Got it.
Grumpy Cup.
Grumpy Cup. AKA Grumpy Cup.
Jeez. All right.